Good morning, happy Sabbath. Can everybody bow their heads with me for another short prayer? Father in heaven, we want to thank you for another opportunity for us to come together and worship with you this morning. Lord, I ask you now that your Holy Spirit will be upon me. I pray that hearts and minds will be open to hear the message that you will give through me. May they not see me, but see you speaking through me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's been a long time since I've had to step up in front of the church and speak, so I want to kind of give a message a little closer. I guess you could say to home and coming from the heart today. Earlier, the scripture reading that was given was 1 Corinthians 10:11, and it said, "The things that happened to everybody else before are examples unto us on whom the ends of the world are come." Are we living in the last days? Y'all sure? We are the people who need to take heed to the examples of everything else that happened before us. So, you know, Gabby said something in her prayer, you know, help us to get ready so when Jesus comes back. My message is going to deal with another part of that prayer. Nobody is going to get to heaven getting ready by themselves. You have to help others get ready as well. I can't go on unless y'all agree with me on that. You can't just get ready by yourself, folks. It doesn't work like that. We have to help others get ready too. So, with that being said, I want us to take a look at something that Jesus said we might want to pay close attention to. So, go with me to Matthew 26, and we're going to start at verse 64. Matthew 26, and we're going to start at verse 64. And I'm going to read the scriptures in your hearing. And listen to the scriptures very carefully, because like I said, it's something important that we need to realize. Matthew 26, 64 says, I'll wait. Y'all say amen when you have it. I don't want to leave anybody behind. All right. Matthew 26, 64 says this. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Verse 65, then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, Jesus of all people is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face? And they buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. You know, it really takes a special type of person to walk up and slap Jesus in the face. To pronounce Jesus as guilty of death. Let that sink in for a minute. To pronounce Jesus as guilty of death. And then we walk up in a single file line, slap Jesus in the face. Now, there's a lot of things people did in the Bible that were pretty low and pretty dirty, but I like to rank that as one of the top ones right there. Would you agree with me? Amen? Now, go with me to Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. As you go into Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, just hear me out on this. The Bible says in three different places that at the end of the world, there will be two resurrections. How many will there be? Two resurrections. The Bible says in three places there will be a resurrection for the righteous, and there will be a resurrection for the wicked. It says there'll be a resurrection for the just, and then there'll be a resurrection for the unjust. Depending on how you choose to live your life and your relationship with Christ will determine which resurrection that you wake up in. The Bible teaches the first resurrection happens when Jesus comes back. He sends all his angels all over the world. That's why the Bible says all the angels of heaven come with Jesus, because their job is to gather everybody all over the world so that we can meet with Christ in the air. After Christ resurrects us, 1,000 years later, says he comes back and he raises up the wicked. The Bible says, blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. That's the one we're aiming for, folks. That's the one we're aiming for. But look at this very, very interesting statement made in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Now, the Bible says 6 or 7 times that Jesus is coming back on a cloud. I can show you that all over the Bible. Jesus coming back on a cloud. Jesus coming back on a cloud. People say, oh, how is Jesus going to come back? Jesus is coming back on a cloud. The Bible's like, Jesus is coming back on a cloud. If a person claims to be Christ and they're not floating on the cloud, you mark them off. 6 or 7 times, the Bible says, behold, he cometh with clouds. The Son of Man is coming on a cloud. He's coming in the clouds. Now, Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Now, here's the interesting part. And they also which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, correct me if I'm wrong. Jesus died over what? Maybe 2,000 years ago? Over 2,000 years ago, some people treated him so bad on his trial, disrespected Jesus so bad, that Jesus says, when I come back, those who pierce me, I'm going to raise up just so you can see how real this thing really is. And I'm going to tell y'all something. How many of y'all want to be on that list? I don't even want to think about it. Think about that for a minute. You know, Jesus is standing on trial. You ain't the Son of God. You a hypocrite. You a liar. You da-da-da-da. Slapped Jesus, beat Jesus. They treated Jesus so bad that Jesus says, you know what? When I go back and get my people, I'm going to raise them fools up over there so they can see what the real issue is. Now, the Bible says things that happened to others was an example. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, them were some rough guys. They were real rough. So rough that Jesus says, I'm going to raise them up. Man, I'm going to show y'all something. Jesus steps outside of a normal thing he does just to prove a point. So go with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, and I want you to see something that Jesus says to every single last one of us. Matthew 5, verse 20. When you have it, say amen. Like I said, I don't want to move faster than all of you. So, Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Listen to this very carefully. Now it's in red, so that means Jesus said it, not Terry. It says, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. I need to give everybody something that we kind of forget sometimes. During Jesus' life, Jesus wasn't attacked by non-religious people, folks. Jesus' main obstacles and a lot of the issues he faced during his life came from church folk. Let that sink in. Religious people hindered Jesus the most from accomplishing his mission. And the Bible gives a warning, unless your righteousness, unless your religious life, how you pattern your religious life, if it does not exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Now remember, it's just like Cain and Abel. Most people, when they look at Cain and Abel, they think, ah, you got an atheist and you got a Christian. No, you had two Christians. What? Cain was a Christian? The Bible says both took offerings unto the Lord. Cain never said, I don't believe in God. Cain never said, I don't think God is real. Cain never said, I don't think I shouldn't worship God. Cain picked up offerings. Hey, Cain, I'm a churchgoer just like you, Abel. Cool. And it says both of them took their offerings unto the Lord. You got two people, both religious. One did what the Lord asked, the other one didn't. What I want everybody to see today is, and I have to do this all the time to myself, the Bible says examine yourself. Because a lot of times as a Seventh-day Adventist, you know, I get into this, I almost hate to say it, you know, sometimes when I look at Doug and I look at Walter Vaick, I look at Ivor Myers, I look at some other speakers, you know, a lot of times I sit down and I come to church and I think, man, I want somebody to teach something new and deep today. I got all these problems in my life, but I want new information. God says, what you don't need is new information. You need to take the information you got and do something with it. And see, I'm finding that in my walk that I'm getting caught up in this thing about, it's about what I know. And what I know makes me right because other people don't know what I know. And it kind of, in a sense, commends me towards God. But God says the information is no good if you're not using the information to get to other people. So understand something. I want us to take a look at like three things that the Pharisees did that we don't even realize that we do. And maybe you can measure yourself and see where you stand with it. So the first thing we need to notice is Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. Keep in mind, too, these are, I want you to understand something, too. Now, these are devout church folk now. These are not people who just got into the church. These are devout religious men, devout leaders, people that are supposed to know better and do better. Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. You have it? Listen, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto Jesus' disciple, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Why don't y'all just hang out with church folk? Why y'all hanging out with non-church folk? You know, religious people are only supposed to hang out with religious people. You and Jesus ain't figured that out yet. Verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, oh yeah, I hear what y'all saying. He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they are sick. You know, Jesus had to say to church folk, you do know your job is to go and help other people. Keep in mind, these are religious leaders. Religious leaders did not know that your job as a Christian is to be active, to go and save other people. Look at verse 13. But go and learn what that means, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The average Christian, listen to me, folks, just like the Pharisees, have no sense of their basic duty as a Christian. I'm gonna tell you something right now. All the Bible studies, all the church services you've been through, everything that you've ever heard, all that we know, do we even care if the church is not growing? Does it bother you when we come to church every week and we see the same faces? Do we not get excited when a new person walks through the door? When somebody new comes around, do you think to yourself, man, what can I do to kind of see where they're headed? I want to see where they are. Is there anything I can do to assist? The reason why our religious lives are so, oh my goodness, we were back in another service. He lives, folks. What gives us our religious power, what gives us that light, is us always being mindful that we need to be trying to reach other people. I'm so serious. Because I'm telling you, most people, it's just like we get into this rut. I get like it too. I'm like, oh, yeah, another Saturday. I go home, Sabbath all day. Make sure I don't get around nobody. Don't bother nobody. Don't be with nobody. Sun go down. I may try to get in touch with some of y'all. Can't do that. You can't do that. The reason why I'm giving this message is because I'm coming from home that we're in the last days, and it seems like we've become more secluded from people. Like, it's like the world is becoming so bad, I can't be seen by the world, but God is saying this is the time when y'all really need to be out there. Do you know I see more religious posts on Facebook than I've ever seen in my life during this time? Do y'all know people who I ain't even know is thinking about religion are putting up religious posts now? Because you know why? A lot of people are not working. Me and Kirby have been home for a while, working from home. And the thing is, people don't have nothing else to do. God has literally taken away all of our entertainment. There's no movies, there's no beach. What else you got to think about? Maybe it's time for me to get right with the Lord. God is like, I did stuff like this so you can see where your priorities are. So the first thing we need to realize is our basic duty is trying to reach people. Go with me to Matthew 23:13. I want us to see something else. Matthew 23:13. When you have it, say amen. Matthew 23:13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. That is a big problem with us in the last days. Sometimes we as Adventists, we talk a good game, but our lives don't always stack up to our profession. It's easy around church for people to get a certain idea around us until they actually get around us. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, and neither ye go in yourselves, and neither suffer ye them that are going therein. You know, the second coming, the state of the dead, 2300, beasts. I can go on here and talk about, I can identify in great detail that the Pope is Antichrist. I can identify in great detail, you know, when the stars fell and the moon turning red. I understand all those prophecies. I can literally blow people away with the information. But I'm learning so many times now. It's like we hit this. It's like you get stagnant. I'm hitting people with all this information, but why are they not coming in? Like, why don't people take this stuff and run with it? There's no personal touch. I gave them the information, but there's no personal touch with the people. I mean, you can give people information all you want, but there's a reason why the Bible says Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and took on the form of humanity, and stepped down and joined his brethren. Jesus, the gospel plan didn't work with Jesus up in heaven. Y'all all right down there? I got you. I'm gonna push these buttons and make sure y'all be good. No, the Bible says Jesus, okay, let me go ahead and jump in this mess they got going on. Jesus walks with us. We need to walk with people. There's this thing in the Old Testament called the cities of refuge. You know, when Israel divided their land, they had six cities that were strategically placed throughout all the land. So no matter where you were on the map, did you know it was the same distance for you to run to one of these cities? The reason these cities existed was because, let's say I'm out there working on a construction site with Saeed. I accidentally turn around with a brick and I hit Saeed in the head. Monica upset with me, so now she want to come and hit me upside, hit my head with a brick and kill me. So the Bible says, under those circumstances, during that time, Monica is justified by coming after me to avenge the blood of her husband. My job was to try to get to a city of refuge. And if I could get to the city of refuge before Monica got to me, the Bible teaches I was safe. But here's the interesting thing. Cities of refuge always had roads that led to the cities. The roads that went to these cities must always be kept free of rocks, bushes, and signposts were to always be clearly stating where the city was. What do y'all think happened to those roads when people were trying to run to their salvation, but nobody was tending the roads? Oh, Terry tripped over that rock. Looked like Monica got him now. I couldn't find a sign. The person couldn't get to the city. Do you know it's stated in the spirit of prophecy? A lot of people died because the church folk would not keep the ways clear for people to make it to their salvation. And it teaches today we do the same thing. make the way of salvation clear to people as they come. We got bushes in the way. We got rocks on the road. We're doing everything we can to cause people to stumble. People trying to see the city of refuge. And you know, some sad cases, they would get to the city on the wall. The church folks so busy, they weren't letting them in. And then the avenger would catch the person outside the doors and slay them. So many sad stories, she said, happened because the church was not vigilant and looking out for the people. It just really makes you think. Go to the third thing, and just follow me for a second. I'm about to end it. Matthew 29 through 33. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we'd have not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. You know, there's some church folk that act like they ain't never been saved before. You act like God ain't never gave you power to overcome a sin. You act like you don't understand what it's like to struggle with a sin. And you need to understand when people come to the church, you have to put yourself in their shoes. The golden rule says, treat others as you would have them treat you. How can I help this person with their issue or their problem so that they can see Jesus? Sometimes people can't see Jesus because they got stuff going on. You know, the Sabbath school this week, you know, Jesus healed people to get to them. Work with people to get them here. This is what's going to help us get busy, working with people to try to get them in. And the thing is, they need to know, wow, you know, like, you know, Robert was just like me. You know, Kirby was just like me. Well, okay, cool. All right, so I got some type of hope. You know, Monica was just like me. Cool. You know, sometimes it's stated in Christ's object lessons that we all have influence amongst people, and there are only people that you can reach that nobody else can reach. Because sometimes we kind of veer away from people and we stay away from people, but we don't know God is sending them to you because they have a like experience just like you. See, we don't, like the Bible says, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. What did the Bible call the Pharisees all the time? Y'all ain't nothing but a bunch of snakes. God say, don't be snakes. Be wise like a snake, but be harmless as a dove. How can we reach people? See, we think, oh, this is not so bad. Remember, this attitude that they had towards people, it led them to the condition where they finally did some of the worst stuff, folks. I'm asking every last one of you as you sit there, because I'm telling you, sometimes when I sit in church and I hear a sermon, my thing is, oh man, I ain't talking about nothing new. I done heard this before. But the very stuff, it's no more about what we know, it's about what we are doing. That's what it's about now. There's a scripture in the Bible, I can't think of exactly where it is, but Jesus says, not what say ye more than others, but what do ye more than others. What's the point of even coming to this building every week and sitting in the chair if you're not going to really work for God? I don't understand the point. When we get to the gate, Jesus says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, when I go to somebody's house or home and I pull concrete, they don't pay me if I don't put no concrete on the ground, folks. When they walk out of their house, they got to look and see what Terry did. I have to show them that, you know, my labor, I worked for you, so I did for you. Jesus says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We don't work our way into heaven, but our works testify that our faith is real. The Bible says you carry nothing into heaven. The only thing you can take into heaven, you actually can take something into heaven. Guess what it is? Your character. But guess what else you can take? Other people. That's the part we forget. We want to walk in by ourselves, but we don't care if nobody else make it. Bring other people in. Matter of fact, Jesus says, all that are in me, if I am the vine, you are the branches. Every branch in me shall bear what? Oh, That means every person who has ever come to Jesus will be responsible for saving at least one person. Challenge me on that biblically. You can even pick the thief on the cross. God worked it out. He put his story in the Bible. So guess what? Millions of people are going to be saved by the thief. He don't even know it until he get into heaven. That man accepted Jesus at the last moments of his life. God was like, let me work out the future and everything right quick so I can make sure he, boom. So when he walk up in heaven, the thief probably gonna have people coming up to him for the next 500 years. Man, I read your story, man. What story? What you talking about? God says there will not be one Christian that makes it into heaven that will not be responsible for bringing in at least one other person. If you are connected to the vine, you will bear fruit. That's a promise. See, the thing is, we already got the promise we'll bear it. We just got to do our what? We just have to do our part. So keep this in mind. Another thing too, like the scripture just said about nails, like, oh, boy, if I was back in the days and patriarchs and prophets and kings and desire ages, I would have never treated Jesus like that. I would have never done what King David did. I would have never did what Eve did. I would have never. And then the angel who be writing all your stuff, like, Folks, we just like everybody else in the scriptures. That's why their examples are in the scriptures. So when you get in the same nonsense, you can go into the scriptures and take a look and see. You know, everybody is on equal ground when it comes to the cross. Everybody's on equal ground. Completely equal. See, the thing is, be approachable. In the Bible study that we have on Friday nights, I try to tell everybody, me, Brian, you know, we try to tell everybody, be approachable. When people come, you know, we like me and my wife, we even get detailed sometimes, like down to like when we invite people over, like cooking, we'll ask people, what would y'all like? Even the fact that people are looking forward to something they're gonna get inclines them to come. Hey, you know, let's before we do the study, let's have a good meal. Sometimes it backfires on us. They sit in our eyes rolling the back of their head because we don't fed them too much. But the thing is, we make it something people can look forward to. We are trying to be approachable. Jesus was approachable. Let me read something to you right quick. And hear me out on this. And see, this is the problem with Christians. Listen to this. This comes to Desire Ages. It says, Jesus worked to relieve every case of suffering that he saw. He had little money to give, but he often denied himself of food in order to relieve those who appeared more needy than him. His brothers felt that his influence went far to counteract theirs. He possessed a tact which none of them had or desired to have. When others spoke harshly to the poor, degraded people, Jesus sought out those very words ones and spoke to them words of encouragement. To those who were in need, he would give a cup of cold water and would quietly place his own meal in their hands. As he relieved the sufferings, then the truths that he taught were burned in their memories and were thus riveted forever. Make it pleasing for people. Show people that you are real. Talk with people about the things they are going through. Deal with them with the issues that they have. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't like dealing with people sometimes too. You know what? Because it takes time. It's so aggravating. Oh, I gotta deal with this situation again. When me and Brian started the Bible study, and you know, one thing that we didn't account for was that people was gonna call us all the time with their problems. I don't hear about your problems. I just want to study with you. It didn't work like that. We couldn't separate the two. If you're gonna be dealing with people spiritually, you have to deal with them in their lives. And it got to the point, Brian was walking with people just in the evenings and they was throwing burdens on them. I got to the point, I mean, we got burned with stuff, you know, because getting involved with people requires time, it requires effort, and people need to see that. I've had people come to a study group and was like, man, I thought you only listened to EG music and I only thought you looked at crosses all day. And I was like, what? Like, you know, I got a life, right? Outside of church. You know, people assume these things about us because they only see us in a religious setting and they never see how we live outside. Like, one thing about Jesus was always amongst the people. He lived correctly, but he always showed them, hey, you know, I'm a person just like you, but I'm just like you. But the thing is, I can help you with all this stuff. And I remember, you know, like me and Kirby was talking, a lot of times, you know, sometimes we as Christians, we get disgusted with people And you know, my wife would say this sometimes, you know, like parents get upset with the kids because they don't like the way the kids act, but other people realize the reason the parents get mad at the kid because the kid act just like they used to act. So they don't like it because the kid is a constant reminder of what they are. And then I was talking with Brian earlier this week, and Brian, I said, Brian, you know, sometimes I really don't need to be up in front. I don't feel like doing Bible studies. I don't feel like talking with people all the time. You know, I get like that. Even though I speak, I still get like that because I'm naturally anxious. I'm naturally anxious. Do you know I pass that on to my daughter? The Bible teaches, you know, we pass on our traits to our kids. The last time my daughter came to visit me from Florida, she said, Dad, you know, I'm anxious all the time. When I walk past crowds, I get up in front. She said, I'm anxious for no reason. I said, baby girl, you got that honest. I said, you got that from your old man. I'm naturally anxious. And the thing is, I said, Brian, you know, like, he said, look. He said, man, I'm gonna be honest with you about something. He said, doctors don't always look like the epitome of health. He said, doctors can have problems, be fighting their own personal diseases, you know, working in the medical field, like Brian was saying. He said, you would think doctors would be the picture perfect people that you would wanna be around. But he said, the issue is, he said, they know what needs to be done to help people. You know, imagine if doctors didn't want to help us because they ain't have their lives together. There'd be a whole lot of problems, wouldn't it? And see, I'm having to realize that too. God ain't telling me to be perfect before I help somebody else. He say, just grab their hand and pull them along with you while you're going. That's the thing. That's all he's asking. Hey, help somebody else in time of need. And Pastor Green, you know, like our pastor over at our church, I've never seen a guy so big. I've never seen a pastor as busy as him. He's never home. He never gets sleep. And I remember Brian asked him one time, Brian was like, yo, Pastor Green, why, how did you get to the point where you were always doing something? We'll call him up. He working on somebody's car. He fixing up on somebody's house. Like, do you ever, like, just relax? He said, what happened? You know, he said, you know, when I was going through the time when my wife had passed, and he said, you know, I went through a grieving period, and he said, I was down for a while. He said, Brian, I came to the realization that there are other people in the world. And he said, during that day, when I realized the other people in the world, he said, I stopped looking at myself and I started realizing that I can help other people so they won't experience what I experienced. So I'm sharing this stuff with you is because where I am religiously right now, the reason why we're so stagnant is because we make our religious experience stagnant. Me and Kirby just got our home on June the 8th. We just got a brand new place. We said that when we got our place, we were gonna start inviting people over more. So when we have our Bible studies, you know, we switch between Marcus' house, my other best friend, and our house. And we're always trying to look out whether we're going to invite somebody. When somebody say that they're going to possibly bring somebody, I'll call them throughout the week. Hey, don't forget to tell so-and-so. Hey, we was at the gym earlier. Hey, Marcus was like, yeah, I talked to another guy named Randy or whatever. I was like, okay, so make sure you remember to tell them. Hey, what did the guy, like, we're trying to get to this point where we're focused on other people and it brings this excitement, it brings something to look forward to. And that's where we get to the point where we actually go and get into a new experience. The thing is, are we like the Pharisees though? I don't care about anything that's going on. I went to church, I read, I studied, I prayed, and that's it. I don't like that. I've been to that point and I don't want to get to that point in my religious life where it gets like that. So I'm gonna end it on this. Jesus had said that in the last days he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And the Bible says when he looks at the people who are the sheep, he said, come in, you clothed me, you fed me, you came to visit me, and pretty much you visited me in prison when I was sick and I was hungry. And the Bible says the righteous say, Jesus, I ain't never see you. I don't remember putting no clothes on you. I don't remember feeding you. I don't remember giving you something to drink when you was thirsty. And Jesus says, the Bible says he points to all the people who they helped. And he says, as much as you did it to them, you did it unto me. We always say, why Jesus not close to me in my life? Go to work for him. Ooh, you'll get real close to him then. And that's what we forget. The Pharisees, I was looking through some scriptures last night. I couldn't find those scriptures where it said the Pharisees was bringing people to the temple. Matter of fact, they was always doing what? Kicking people out of the temple. pushing people away. So my thing is that I'm asking every single Christian here is, you know, are you just like the Pharisee? Jesus comes to you and he says, hey, y'all, go into my vineyard. The Bible says there were two sons that the king came to. He said, hey, son, go in my vineyard. One son said, I'm not going to go. He said, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to go. And then the other one says, I am going to go. I ain't going to do nothing. Which type of Christian are you? Are you the one that's saying, God, I'm going to go to work for you, and then you don't do nothing? Or are you the type that says, okay, God, I know I haven't been doing anything, but I'm going to jump on it and do something. In the last couple of years, in the Bible study group that we had, these are the people that came in just because we decided to try it. We had Liz, Chelsea, Brian, Chris, Katrina, Debbie. We had six baptisms through the Bible study group because we just took time just to open our homes and study with people and spend time with them. People who are considering, y'all know my best friend Marcus that comes in here with his wife Kia? Y'all do know, and I'm going to tell you this, they are considering getting baptized. When we do the Bible studies, Marcus and Kia open up their homes and they're not even church members. Marcus and Kia come to the community service. They are around. We watch them like a hawk. Because the thing is, we want them to come in. You want people who want to, like, you get what I'm saying? I don't know if y'all understand what I'm saying. Like, these are my best friends. Brian's my best friend. Marcus is my best friend. I'm about to get both of my best friends into the church. And both of them want to be busy and want to do stuff. You know, we got Kirby. We got Katrina, Kiki. And then on top of that, we have people who are hanging around us. And they kind of like, I don't know, y'all a little weird. Y'all eat funny. Y'all go to church on the wrong day. But, you know, we like hanging around y'all. Y'all are pretty cool. So you get what I'm saying? That's going to happen. But the thing is, if you create an environment where people want to be there, it actually makes the religious life that much more meaningful. And that's all I want to share with you today is that's what I'm learning. So we have a girl right now who's been coming with Kirby about 3 weeks. There's another girl coming from Augusta. Brian drives all the way over to Augusta to pick her up and bring her down to Aiken. She's been coming for 3 weeks. Brian called me last week and said she's considering baptism. It caught me off guard. I was like, you know, I come here, she's asking me so many questions. I'm like, normally this doesn't happen. Because when she came over, we was giving her stuff. What I didn't know was one thing that a lot of times, you know, with the group, you know, you got guys and girls. And me and Brian, sometimes we get burned out because we're trying to call everybody all the time and try to keep up, and we can't always do that. I mean, we can't. We need help. And Brian came back and told me one of the girls in our group actually started reaching out to the other girls, and she said something. I immediately sent her a text. Thank you so much. She was like, for what? Because I heard such and such say you've been reaching out to her. I don't know if it's because of her reaching out is what caused Diamond, that's her name, to want to come and talk about baptism. You get what I'm saying? So my thing is today is I could have came with something deep. I could have came with some revelation type stuff, Daniel type stuff. But my thing is, you know, like, I'm really excited about what we have going on, and you don't need to be a minister. You just need to be able to want to hang with people and do stuff. And like I said, sometimes when we get people in the group, you know, I tell you all the time, you know, I think Gabby, I hear about you being a good administrator. I'm horrible. Everything will fall apart. I can't plan nothing. I can't do nothing. I remember one time we had a girl in our group. She held me and Brian accountable for everything that we did. Every study we had, she would write it up on the wall. I come in on Friday nights getting ready to study. She was like, Terry, you did that 2 weeks ago. I was like, oh, okay, change of plans. Getting ready to do something completely different. You know, Kirby will say, hey, you know, I think such and such said something last week about something they like. I'm going to gear the meal towards them. You see what I'm saying? So my thing is, are you just like the Pharisees? And if you're asking yourself, man, I probably need to do better, then you know God is saying this message was given to you as an example so that you can see where you stand with me. And like I said, if you want some help, you can always holler at me and Kirby or Brian or Marcus or whatever. And you know, I mean, we don't, you know, guys, we're not a closed group. We're open. We have a group full of misfits. We all got issues, we all got problems, but we all working with each other. And some people in the group I'm close to, some people I'm not. Some people you click with better, some people you don't. That don't mean you don't like them, it just, that's how it works. God has different people, different characters, different traits, different likes, different things, but they all work together. So don't let that confuse you in the church. You know, Monica and Gabby may be close. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just, that don't mean they don't like anybody else. That just means they're just close. Jonathan and David, Jesus and John, it happens. So just keep in mind that our thing is to build relationships, and I hope you are blessed by this message. Let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the opportunity for us to come together here this day and worship with you. And Lord, we just pray that as we leave here today, may our hearts and our minds burn, Lord, with a purpose to go out and reach others. Help us to realize, Lord, that in you we are supposed to bear fruit. So we ask that each and every individual that is here, we ask that you would give them strength to do all that they need to do to reach others. Thank you for the opportunities that you give us. May you open doors and bless each and every last one of us. In Jesus' name we pray and ask all these things. Amen.